Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And I ain't gonna take any more, believe me, the sun in your eyes, and some of the lies worth believing. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you.
So the Beulah Interchange, everyone has been hearing about the Beulah Interchange for, I expect, probably a decade or maybe two even. It has been in the work program. It has moved around in the five-year work program. Sometimes it falls out. Sometimes it falls in.
I know that's not what you want to hear when you care a lot about getting this interchange built, the first access point onto I-10 that's been built since, and I got varying answers on this, but you know, like maybe 30 years or something. It's crazy. But yeah, this is where Beulah Road is going to kind of be realigned to go straight instead of to bend west north of 9 Mile. And, you know, the state now owns that road in swap for Perdido Key Drive last year, four. I don't remember. A couple years ago. Anyway, so they're going to build an interchange there, and that's going to obviously get more access onto I-10 and off of I-10. That's going to help alleviate some of the traffic congestion. Although I think, pardon me if I'm wrong about this, Navy Federal folks, feel free to text me at 437-1620. I think a lot of that 9 Mile congestion has been solved by the 83 laning of 9 Mile Road as it exists right now. But this is Chris Phillips. He's the Escambia County traffic engineer. We're actually going to have him on the show later on this morning, 6:35, and talk about some of these issues in more detail. But basically saying that, look, the Beulah Interchange is there, but it goes in and out of the work program over the years. And, you know, that's a little disconcerting to me because I had been thinking that the Beulah Interchange was like a done fact, just a future fact, right? It was all set, all good, ready to go. And he says, well, think about this.
As you know, construction prices have risen dramatically over the last 2 years. Case in point, we estimated a 1.5 mile long brand new road. It was the Kingsfield extension. Back in 2021, that priced out at just over $11 million. Well, it's now over 20. So costs have really gone up.
So nearly a doubling of the price of road construction in the last 2 years. Part of that's due to the roads themselves, labor issues, all that. Also, part of it's due to right-of-way acquisition, which, depending on the road and where it's located and what kind of property you have to go through to make the thing work, that can be as much as the road construction itself. But he says, yeah, if the cost of our roads are doubling, guess what the cost of FDOT roads are doing, or construction of any kind.
So DOT has the same problems that the county has. Is if those construction costs goes up and revenue does not go up with it, it's very hard to meet in the middle. So they've had to shove some projects around.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, that's the reality, right? If things cost twice as much and your revenues don't double, you're going to have to make some decisions about priorities. And so the Beulah Interchange is one of these, apparently now, that's more of a, like that's the level of where we're at with this.
They are absolutely still interested in the Beulah Interchange.
Trying to say interested does not excite me. Interested is a very deliberate understatement, right? Chris is a smart guy. If he meant committed, he would have said committed. And if he can't say committed, he's going to say interested.
As a matter of fact, we have them looking at how it's going to connect to not only Kingsfield Road in the existing orientation, but Waste Services is looking at sliding Beulah Road over to be able to expand the landfill. And we're asking DOT to look at better how to connect into that instead of doing a little fish hook on Kingsfield and then having to make another turn. So they're studying that again, and we definitely appreciate their help there.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, that the Escambia County is expanding its landfill space. You know, they're trying to build to the future because that landfill is going to reach its capacity. And so the property basically to the east of the landfill now on the other side of Beulah Road is, I think they acquired all of that already, if I remember. There was an item agenda about that not too long ago. And I know we talked with Wes Moreno about that quite a bit. But moving Beulah Road in its entirety over that direction, which, of course, to people who live along Beulah Road, you know, that's going to present some interesting challenges. But the short takeaway for me was that the Beulah Interchange, which I had been thinking of as just a future fact, I now think of as a future probably. And I hope I'm misinterpreting what he said. And I will specifically ask him about that when we get him on the show here in about an hour and a half. Meanwhile, 9 Mile Road and I-10 and Pine Forest, a couple of interesting notes there.
Our project here is on I-10 from the way station to east of 9 Mile Road. So what they're going to do is they're going to make that stretch of I-10 six lanes, and they're going to rework the interchange here at 9 Mile Road. And what that is going to entail is rebuilding the overpasses.
Okay, so six laning all the way west to the Welcome Center, which, you know, we're kind of in the process of six laning all of I-10 in this region. So that's not a surprise. That's already going to go, you know, all the way to like US 29, and now this is and to Pine Forest, and now it's going all the way west to 9 Mile, and then past that to, you know, the almost the border, right, with Alabama. But where this becomes interesting is, okay, if they're going to rework that overpass at I-10 and 9 Mile.
9 Mile Road is really, really wide, and then it kind of narrows up under the overpass. So by reconstructing the overpass, they can spread that out. And they're also going to put what's called a diverging diamond interchange there.
Oh, yeah. If you don't know what a diverging diamond interchange is, we've talked about this many times, but if it's brand new to you, no worries. You may have driven one. They are sprinkled around the state and around the country, quite frankly. This is an idea that Europe has used for decades. And, you know, no, it doesn't mean it's like roundabouts. They're super weird when you first use them. When you're coming towards, like if you're on 9 Mile and you're going west toward I-10, what's going to happen at a diverging diamond interchange is at the portion that goes underneath I-10, you're actually going to cross over from what you think of as the sort of the north side of the road onto the south side of the road temporarily. And traffic that's going eastbound is going to cross over onto the what you would think of as the north side of the road temporarily going east. So you're only going to drive on the wrong sides of the road for a couple of hundred feet, and then you're going to switch back. And the reason they do that, the reason this really works, is it cuts down on the number of traffic conflict points. So by reducing the number of conflict points, you can make traffic flow more smoothly through the totality of that interchange. They absolutely work, and they are terrifying the first time you use them. It's not terrifying in the like roundabout sense, like you've got to do something weird. All you have to do is obey the traffic signals. It's just super freaky weird when you first use them, but they definitely work, and that's why they're putting them in there. That means there's two now coming to I-10. One, the 9 Mile. The other one is at Pine Forest. Remember, the plan is to put one under Pine Forest there and also to change that intersection dramatically and then to put a roundabout up at Pine Forest and 297A. That's going to become a roundabout as well.
And again, that's $162 million worth of construction in 2026.
And this is all part of the Florida Forward program for Governor DeSantis last year, is when that 9 Mile interchange changes got added.
Right after that, the design will be underway for the very same type of interchange at Pine Forest Road in I-10. Now, they don't have construction dollars set aside for that yet, but there are like three studies in that corridor that begin at 297A and work their way down to the interstate for capacity improvements and intersection improvements, not only at 297A and 9 Mile, but additional lanes on Pine Forest.
And I had also been thinking of the diverging diamond on Pine Forest as a future fact, but apparently that one's not even funded yet, so thanks for the update.
And then there's another section being studied from I-10 south to, I'd say, probably just past Interstate Circle in there. And we know that the latest study is going to show that that section is going to be six lane for sure. And of course, anytime you add lanes, you add cost. And so that tends to move things out a little further. But what we've learned is that in very populated areas like that, sometimes right-of-way costs approach the same cost as construction. So buying land to be able to put the roads in and the retention ponds is in some cases just about as expensive as building the road.
Yeah, fair point. And again, if things are costing more, they were already not pledged dollars. Now, if they cost more, you have to make decisions. I will say this. I'm really surprised they're trying to improve Pine Forest there at I-10 and then the north side of Pine Forest between 9 Mile and I-10. I mean, that whole area just runs like a clock right now. Sorry. Couldn't even say it out loud. Everybody knows that is a... what's the word from Heartbreak Ridge? A cluster something or other? I mean, that is a giant hot mess all the time. So at least we're on the path toward improving it, even if It's not funded yet. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision-making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech, a professional air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Super glad I don't live in the northern portion of the United States these days. Holy smokes. Have you seen the smoke and the pictures from, like, New York City, some of the time-lapse stuff of blue to yellow to orange to, I mean, my goodness. It's like they're going through an eclipse every day. It's terrible from these Canadian wildfires. I knew this was happening because my dad, who lives in Denver, had told me about it and how bad it was there, and now we're seeing it over the east. And it's funny, like, I see this happen, I think, my God, what would you do? You can't do anything. And, you know, there's also a part of me that's like, well, I'm glad it's not here. You know, we're lucky us, right? 524, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, funny you mentioned the wildfires, because that was actually my first story. How dare you?
Those wait, wildfires. How dare me? Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Yesterday, we reported that those wildfires, they were coming as far south as Kentucky and even Tennessee. It's just crazy. But at one point, while all this has been happening, New York City was listed actually as having the worst air quality in the world.
And you think of some of the places in the world where, you know, like Beijing or, you know, Tokyo or London, some of these cities where, like, you know, you go into town. I don't know if you've ever been in any of those places, but like in London, for example, you go into the city for the day and you come back and you blow your nose and it's black. I mean, it's real, and
right.
It's disgusting, and that's like on an ordinary day, not even a hard day. Sorry, go ahead.
But they are saying now that this is all expected to clear up in the next couple of days as well. The Vatican says that Pope Francis slept well after undergoing surgery yesterday. Of course, he had that intestinal surgery, and it was a three-hour operation, took place without complications. Former White House official Steve Bannon now being subpoenaed by a Washington, D.C. federal grand jury. This subpoena in connection to an investigation into former President Trump and his actions on January 6th, 2021, and the alleged efforts to interfere with the transfer of power.
All right, Dave. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620 is my phone number. CNN's gotten rid of its CEO. Chris, I guess it's leaked? L-I-C-H-T. I don't know if it's licked or liked. I don't really care all that much, except that this is one of those interesting cases where you've got a guy who got apparently promoted beyond his level of competence, even though he was incredibly competent at the other things that he has done. Like, he was in charge of Morning Joe, kind of Morning Joe's resurgence. He was in charge of the Colbert Show, which, you know, I don't watch it, but very popular, obviously. And, you know, turning Stephen Colbert from purely a satire bit into, you know, an actual talk show. And, you know, several other like high success production kind of roles and, you know, executive producer sort of roles. And then he gets in charge of CNN, and 1 year later he's out. And in part because, and this is kind of where it all comes from, you know, remember that Trump town hall? That was one of the big problems. Also just, you know, loss of confidence among the people who work there. And The Atlantic, there was a 15,000 word profile in The Atlantic, which might sound like a lot, 15,000 words, but, you know, for The Atlantic, that's like, you know, a short op-ed. I mean, The Atlantic is, you know, I mean, if you read, you know, Tolstoy, and then you're like, man, at least it's not as long as an Atlantic article. So they did a blistering piece on him, and that was it. He's just completely out. So they're kind of in, you know, recovery. Of course, CNN Plus, the cancellation, remember that last year? That was going to be the future for CNN, and then all of a sudden, no, not anymore. But listen, I have long and, you know, always thought that CNN was an important part of the news landscape. I mean, they, you know, they were really the first to do like 24-hour news, and not that that's necessarily good for our society, but I've always thought they were an important part of, you know, what provided information and alternate sources to things that, you know, network news is going to cover, or even that Fox News is going to cover. I mean, if we lost MSNBC, I would cry not a single tear. But I think if we lost CNN, that's actually a real loss of something. So I hope, for the sake of a variety of information sources, we can get, you know, they can get that figured out and make CNN, you know, kind of what it once was. Meanwhile, Bud Light apparently not taking the hint. But I, you know, it's a tough business to be in these days to figure out where to land with all of these different social issues. Bud Light is reportedly co-sponsoring an all ages pride event in Flagstaff, Arizona. Oh. Oh, now Flagstaff is a little bit of a different place, an interesting place. Like, we used to live in Phoenix, and, you know, Phoenix is the desert. It's 115 in the summer, and Flagstaff is a mountain town. You know, you could literally drive out of the desert, out of 100 degrees, well, not 100, but, you know, out of like 80 in the winter, or even some of the spring, and you go up to Flagstaff, and there's snow on the ground. You know, and it's really kind of it's an interesting place. It's definitely an odd place. There's a lot of odd places in Arizona. And so, you know, there's anyway, but Flagstaff is one that they are going to, they were going to do, drag queens, Pride in the Pines, they're calling it, June 17th. And Bud Light is one of the major corporate sponsors. I don't know that that's quite the same as some of the other things. Cause, you know, having a beer sponsorship on these events, they all have sponsorships of these kinds, but, Old Navy, Toyota, Coca-Cola, all also primary sponsors of, this Pride Month event in Flagstaff. So we'll see. The Northern Arizona Pride Association organizing it has listed that there is a no nudity city ordinance for all gender forms, their words, not mine, as part of the regulations for the park that the event will take place in. And it is true to a degree, you have to tell people that. So we'll just kind of see. But, you know, I know the folks who are boycotting Bud Light. I've been boycotting Bud Light for 40 years because I just don't drink that kind of beer, not on purpose for any lifestyle choices or, you know, trying to make any cultural statement. I gotta do the math. 40 is not quite right. 30 would be right. 52. Anyway, so I guess I boycotted all alcohol when I was 11. Anyway, you know, we'll see whether the people who have been holding out on Bud Light, whether this continues to be a story for them. And I think so, because I see their posts on Facebook and they're still very, very, very upset about all this and seeing success in the realm with Bud Light. They're looking at, obviously, Target, and there was a story about, I forget who the other ones were now, that, you know, Nike has shown up in this list lately. Levi's have shown up in this list lately. So we'll see. Oh, and small note, I will likely spend a little bit more time on this later, but Marco Rubio has come up with a really interesting idea for the A-10 that the Air Force wants to get rid of. He says, send them to Ukraine. That's a perfect platform to fight against Russian tanks and infantry. He's right. That's a genius idea. Way better than F-16s.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. The smoky haze hanging over much of the eastern U.S. is expected to stick around until at least tomorrow. It's from wildfires in northeastern Canada.
Roughly 100 million Americans are under an air quality alert, with health officials in many cities and states suggesting people wear masks, warning vulnerable residents to stay indoors, including the elderly and those with heart or lung conditions.
Fox's Molly Line. House Republicans dropped plans to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt over a document describing allegations of a bribe paid to President Biden when he was vice president.
The Oversight Committee had been scheduled to meet on a resolution holding Wray in contempt of Congress, but Chair James Comer announced he was calling off the vote after the FBI finally offered to let all committee members review a 2020 document at the center of the standoff.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Louisiana is the latest state to ban transgender transition treatment for anybody under 18. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 73 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Congressman Matt Gaetz will be in Jay tomorrow providing a legislative update. He'll be speaking at Scott's Outdoors from 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. Gaetz will be providing updates on his work in Washington, D.C. and Florida's 1st Congressional District. Now, tickets to this event are free at Eventbrite. We've got that link posted on the News Radio Facebook page. An Escambia County deputy was taken to the hospital yesterday after a traffic crash. That happened on Nine Mile Road and Pensacola Boulevard. According to the sheriff's office, the deputy was on a motorcycle as part of an escort when they collided with another vehicle. FHP says the deputy suffered injuries to his leg. The FHP crash report did not show any charges filed in relation to the accident. The search continues for a new city manager in Milton. Current city manager Randy Jorgensen retiring at the end of the summer. City council members will be cutting down the list of possible candidates next week at a special meeting.
I understand that he's working hard to vet these applications so that we have a way to figure out the best choices on how to interview, because when you have a lot of applicants, we can't interview every single applicant.
And that is Mayor Heather Lindsay. She says they'll be narrowing that list down from 43 to about a dozen. Former Gulf Breeze City Manager Buzz Eddy's been helping with the search. A special meeting will be held next week. Council members will vote on moving to the interview phase of the process then. Chinese citizens are challenging Florida's new law that blocks them and others from owning land in the state. The law takes effect on July 1st. Critics say it runs the risk of creating Chinese exclusion zones in parts of the state. Governor DeSantis signed FLSB 264 into law last month. A 22-year-old Pensacola man sentenced to life in prison for a fatal shooting at the Forest Creek Apartments just over 2 years ago. Trenton Newkirk was found guilty of second-degree murder for the death of Jeffrey Kennell Jr. on December 29th of 2020. Prosecutors say Newkirk shot Kennell 12 times while standing outside of his apartment. Newkirk and another man, Isaiah Sims, had been seen following Kennell before the shooting. The state attorney's office dropped charges against Sims, saying they couldn't prosecute beyond a reasonable doubt. It is 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms will be possible through the afternoon today. 50% chance of rain overall with a high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the upper 60s, low 70s. We're going to be seeing our summertime pattern continue for Friday. Isolated showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Temperatures upper 80s, low 90s, overnight 60s and 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 73. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola. 77 reported in Gulf Breeze and 71 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes for us? In Escambia County, they do. The millions who visit here spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay lower the tax burden for locals. Visitor spending supports over 22,000 jobs, providing $638 million in local wages. Sure, being a tourism destination means we might have to wait a little longer for a restaurant table or park a little farther to get to our favorite shops. But it's a small price to pay when you consider the contributions those temporary visitors make to our permanent slice of paradise. So keep on welcoming visitors with our famous Southern hospitality and invite your friends and family to visit, because tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola. Ready to save on your energy bill? Compass Solar Energy, Northwest Florida's premier solar company, has been locally owned and operated in Pensacola for over 20 years. They want to help you save money on your energy costs, and they offer free quotes for residential and commercial solar packages. They also have a full service department, and full system diagnostics are available, no matter who installed your system. Visit CompassSolar.com for details or find them on Facebook. It's time to start saving on your energy bill with Compass Solar Energy.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. This summer, UWF is offering a range of sports camps for local athletes of all ages. Taught by a premier coaching roster of UWF athletics coaches, these camps are essential for any middle school and high school athletes wanting to hone their skills. Join Raymond Brooks and Will Kennedy on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss the upcoming UWF camps and the benefits of attending the camps. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, I had a chance to connect with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. We had been talking about some of the personnel issues that, you know, Adrian Stills, the Parks and Recreation Director, which had formerly been the head of the Osceola Golf Course, being asked to resign, and then Lawrence Powell, the Neighborhoods Coordinator, being asked to resign, and, you know, some questions people had raised about those things. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, let me clarify. Channel 3 had asked me about Kelsey Powell. He is not part of the same group in this case. I mean, Kelsey Powell is still employed.
Great.
They asked if that was going to be a change. So,
I appreciate getting bad information. Okay, thank you for clarifying. Yes.
Yeah, and look, you know, first off, the reason we don't get into details of personnel decisions is a lot of times, as anybody who's been in business or anybody who's supervised knows, that sometimes you make decisions that you just think are in the best interest of that organization, that city, that to move to different priorities. It may not be that there's something below board. It may not be that there's something unethical. And sometimes maybe they're in some relative subjective nature. So, you know, out of respect for these guys and out of respect for, you know, the organization, that's why we really don't get into a lot of details. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really challenge our city, our every department, that when there's a change in employment in whether it's a firing, a resignation, or someone leaving for what they believe to be a better opportunity, in all of those scenarios, I think it's our duty to look at them, because they might be working off a job description that's 8-10 years old. I mean, and who's to say that a new skill set, a new objective isn't needed? So really, at not just at the department director level, we really challenge all our departments to say, you know, how should we reimagine this position to make it in the best interest of the taxpayer, the maximum value to the taxpayer, and to make sure we can run as efficiently and as optimally as possible. So, you know, that's my expectation always in every one of these jobs, no matter what. And sometimes there's a drastic change. Sometimes there's very little. Yet, are we considering eliminating some of these divisions? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And those are that's part of that analysis. So we're going to do that with every position and really go from there.
And I have to assume that, you know, there's going to be a Parks and Recs director and there's going to be a city attorney, of course. But then, you know, right. that really be the neighborhood coordinator position that had been resurrected by Grover Robinson, that, you know, that's the one that you're assessing. Oh, and by the way, I think I made another mistake. I think I was talking about Rebecca Ferguson when I mentioned, I should have said when I was talking about Kelsey Powell, because she's at the port, but she's part of the, she's one of the departures too, right? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And I just communicated it wrong. So I'm batting over 2 this morning on that stuff. There's interesting stuff on the city council agenda next week that you and I have kind of been waiting to talk about, but now that it's actually on the agenda, I want to get into this a little bit. You are wanting to create an ordinance specifically related to food truck courts, is that right?
That's correct. And so the gist of this, obviously, food, as everyone knows, they see food trucks around, that's allowed. What this is really formalizing a food truck zoning where you could have multiple food trucks on at a specific location. And the important thing to point out here is instead of being able to just use a vacant piece of property and, you know, put some rocks down and put a porta potty and have 3 or 4 trucks, this really formalizes, one, your ability to do something like that if you were a developer or a food truck owner. But secondly, is to make sure that, hey, it requires a permanent restroom. You know, it requires there's certain things that are required to make sure that this is a real investment, that this isn't just, you know, again, you know, pouring some rocks onto a vacant piece of property. You know, if we're going to have this as zoning, we want to make sure that this is a real investment by that person. So, you know, this would allow 3 or 4 food trucks and, you know, or more, and we are kind of behind the eight ball a little bit and with our neighboring cities, counties that do already have this zoning. So I really appreciate our staff that really was the instigator of this, coming and saying, hey, it's probably time for us to have this. And I agree. So I'm really excited to see that. Now, that's just the public hearing portion. First reading will be in July and second reading will be in August. So it'll still be a couple months if it is approved by council before it's in place, but that process is beginning now.
I know we have the one down on Palafox in Maine, and then, of course, Santa Rosa County has a really thriving one over on 98 in Tiger Point vicinity. Are there people who are approaching you and trying to do this, or is this just you realizing that this is an opportunity that maybe the city can take advantage of that other places already allow?
Yeah, look, I've asked that. I think there's been inquiries generally before. This is, you know, we do our best. It's the same reason I'm looking into vertical height restrictions in downtown. I like to try to look at things that we think are good for the city at times where it's not necessarily one person or one individual one. That, you know, if it's good for the city, you know, then that's what should be our kind of navigational tool, right?
Sure.
So
if
I'm
you
not
create
aware
the zoning, the
personally.
Investors will come. Yeah, no, I get that. Makes sense, right?
Right. Instead of saying, hey, well, one person wants to add one floor, so we should change vertical height restriction. Even
right.
if we should change it, it's just, you know, that's not the order you want to do it, you know? And so we're trying to be proactive about these things. So I think that there's certainly been inquiries. I think that's what's helped instigate, you know, our staff to look at this. But I have not had any discussions with any one person in particular about, you know, hey, we definitely want to do this at this location or anything like that. So,
got it.
But look, what do we hope? If we put it in, we hope people are going to want to do it pretty quickly.
Right.
I mean, if not, why would we do it? So.
All right, I'm going to make you unpopular for a moment, but the other issue on the agenda for next week is that you want to raise the rate of the parking at the Pensacola Airport in the garage from 11 to 13 a day, in the surface lot from 9 to 11 a day, and at the economy lot from 8 to 9 a day. Because of inflation, because of funding needs at the airport, or what?
Well, really, a couple things. Number one, you know, the first thing we're going to look at is data every time we look at this. And these increases, which have been a long time coming, you know, have not increased in quite a while. These increases still put us in the middle of the pack of every surrounding airport. So we're not the highest, even after if these are approved, is number one. Number two, Yeah, we have a lot of needs. I just had a meeting with the Secretary of FDOT at City Hall yesterday about, you know, needing a $70 million airport terminal, as well as improvements already to parking. I mean, we're getting so much business. We're bursting at the seams. We're parking people out in the lots, you know, in grass lots on Tuesday, like they were yesterday. So yeah, I mean, no question about it. These are dollars that would be able to help with infrastructure, as well as, you know, we got an escalator fix. We've got 3 baggage claims already back up online and in order. So, you know, there's expense to that, no question. So, you know, like you said, don't get me wrong. I never jump for joy whether it's airport parking or regular parking to do this. But, you know, sometimes these are necessary things. And as I said, if this was something that was going to put us at the top of the market, you know, around our area, it would have been a hard sell for me. But I think this just really gets us back into the middle of the pack. And you know, and if you go travel anywhere, you know, $11 a day to park next to the terminal is a pretty darn good deal right now. And really has us under the market. We were talking to FDOT. They were mentioning that Orlando's $30 a day, you know, to park this close. You know, at the end of the day, it's not these things are never fun, but they are necessary to continue to have operations the way we want them.
Okay. Before we get to the lightning round, I just real quick want to confirm, I think you buried the lead. Did you just say that we were using the grassy knoll overflow Thanksgiving parking lot on just Tuesday in June?
Yesterday, there were people parking in the grass. I do know that.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. And my quick public service plug, I mentioned the press conference, is if you have flights coming up in the next 2 months and you're an hour and 5 minutes before the flight guy like I am, you have to get there earlier. We have all that TSA. It's out of our hands. This is TSA's equipment through security, but being updated throughout the summer. So I'm telling you, yeah, I know that people don't heed the 2 hour before warning most of the time, including me. There's definitely, if you've got flights in the next few weeks, especially during peak times, you really do need to heed that so you're not disappointed or you're not missing flights.
And as a pre-check holder yourself, do pre-check if you certainly can. All right, the lightning round. All right, first thing is a lot of the younger people, millennials and even younger, are actually going back from smartphones to flip phones or sliders. Would you ever consider going away from a smartphone?
Oh, no. I mean, now I probably have like my Razor flip phone somewhere in a drawer that if I did make an abrupt decision, you know, I save all those things.
With your Mardi Gras babies.
With your Mardi Gras babies, right. It's a fantastic paperweight. That's right. Other than the Naval Aviation Museum, which is not a fair answer, or any of the other museums located in the city of Pensacola, what's your favorite museum anywhere?
Oh man, favorite museum anywhere. You know what I really loved is the Newseum in Washington D.C.
Oh yeah,
and then it was just
okay.
My newspaper guide.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good one.
And that was in the heart of my journalism days. So maybe I would be more biased. I'm going to Washington D.C. a couple times this month, so maybe I'll change my mind when you ask me again.
And last thing, flip flops, slides, sandals, or Crocs.
Flip-flops, really none for me. I'm a Nike tennis shoe guy.
Beach?
I guess I would do flip-flops, given the option. Yeah.
You wear Nikes
I know,
at the beach?
I know. Some kind of covered shoe. Maybe a slip-on, kind of a beach slip-on.
All right.
You know?
All right. We'll just move on from this awkward moment. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, we'll go shoe shopping.
Nice. Oh, and by the way, I drove past the airport last night, and it is. He's right. That grassy field there that is usually completely empty is, it's not full, or at least it wasn't full last night, but it's maybe like half full. That's the Thanksgiving and Christmas overflow lot. And I was like, what? It's Wednesday. Like, it's just Wednesday in June. What's going on? That's great and crazy. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, I strongly recommend you get a hold of Christina Leavenworth. Here's why. One, you can just ask her questions. I mean, just treat her as a resource and ask her questions, and she'll answer them because she always has good answers. But also, you know, if you want somebody to get the job done, if you're selling, get it sold quickly, get it sold for a good price, maybe even above list cost, list price, that's what she does all the time. 230 homes sold last year. Like, she knows how to do this. It's a science. But on the buying side, same thing. We sometimes talk so much about her selling homes that we don't think about her as a buyer's agent, but she's really a good buyer's agent because she knows what the seller's perspective is. She knows what sellers are looking to accomplish, why they set the prices that they do, what the market will actually bear. Like, she's a really, you know, she goes into a negotiation or a contract offer or anything like that really knowing what the terrain is going to offer because she's, again, 230 homes sold last year. And if you're a first-time buyer, and I think particularly like when we bought our home for the first time, how great it would have been because we had, let's just say, an agent. Okay. And it would have been great to have somebody like Christina in our corner explaining things, talking us through it, and then making sure that everything gets done all the way through. You know, because it would have been great to have her. I wish I could go back in time and have a Christina Leavenworth buy me my first home. Anyway, fantastic at selling or buying. 723-9158. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The real estate market changes so quickly,
it's hard to keep up.
Fortunately, all you need to do is stay informed by professionals like Team Sandy Blanton Realty. Join Sandy Blanton today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Recommended by Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran, Sandy will help you navigate through this ever-changing world with tips on buying or selling a home today at 10:30 with Team Sandy Blanton Realty on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale, this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
Free grill with every purchase at the factory showroom this Saturday only.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I got it. I know all those routines.
Leo Getz?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's me, Leo Getz. Whatever you need, Leo Getz. You get it?
My husband is not a good recycler, so you know what I tell him? Honey, just put everything in the garbage can. So that's what I'm going to tell anybody in this room tonight. If you don't know how to recycle and you don't want to recycle right, do me a favor and throw it in the garbage can.
I love Vicki Campbell. She's the best. ECUA representative for District 1. This was at the town hall that Jeff Bergosh had the other day. That was where those Chris Phillips clips had all come from. And she's told this story before. Like, her husband, he's married to the ECUA lady, right? And he can't recycle. It cracks me up. But she always tells the story about that and says, look, if you can't recycle properly, just don't do it. And the reason is...
recycle contamination is the biggest problem in the United States of America right now. I read a story about Dallas yesterday, and they're having the same issues that we're having here. Escambia County and Pensacola have more contamination than anybody else we recycle for. Pensacola and Escambia County have more contamination than any place we recycle for. Over 50% of the stuff put in the recycle can is not recycled.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's weird to me because I get some of the things, like, you know, it's easy to think like the pizza box is okay because it's cardboard. Well, does it have oil on it or grease? Yeah, then don't, because it can't be, like, that kind of thing. Or, you know, the plasticated cardboard stuff, you think, well, that's fine, isn't it? No, that's not okay. And then there's all the dumb things. It's the crazy stuff like hoses, you know, and bowling balls and tires and, you know. But, like, ordinary recycling, you would think people would get this. Well, apparently people do not. So we have recycling contamination rates pushing 50% at times. That means 50% of what's in there is actually landfill stuff. And if the contamination rate is, oh, gosh, I forget the number. I think it's a 25%, somewhere in that vicinity, that if it's over that, it just goes to the landfill anyway. So you're ruining it for everybody. So just throw in the trash. And remember, we're going to have the soft opening for the material recycling facility next week, it looks like, is going to happen. So we're kind of, you're supposed to have been practicing good habits all along anyway, because it's hard to get back in them once you get out of them. But next week and thereafter, really pay attention to recycling. Please, for once, try to do it right. 5:56 on News Radio. By the reason we do recycling, and she explains this all the time, and it's fair to remind people, we don't make money on recycling. That was a pretty naively optimistic idea that you could make money on recycling back when the market was hot. But the simple fact of it is that it costs less to recycle it overall per ton than it costs to put it into the landfill. And so it's really avoiding the cost of paying the tipping fee at the landfill is why we do recycling, so it keeps costs down for everybody. And, you know, there's theoretically this greenish kind of benefit of not having to put stuff in the landfill and instead putting it into other future products. 5:57, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Several House conservatives joined Democrats in voting against GOP party line measures this week. That happened Tuesday when 11 Republicans joined with Democrats to block Republican legislation from advancing to the floor. The move appeared to be in retaliation after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy worked with Democrats to suspend the debt ceiling. Republicans now not moving forward with contempt charges against the head of the FBI over documents alleging bribery involving Joe Biden. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer says he's reached an agreement with FBI Director Christopher Wray, and all members of the committee will be able to see the documents. The White House says the allegations are part of a smear campaign. And there's a new clue that one person thinks might be linked to the Zodiac Killer. It's been found in the Sierra foothills. The clue was discovered from satellite images by an amateur detective who saw a 25-foot-wide rock formation that looks like a bullseye. This is about 10 miles west of Tahoe. Apparently, the Zodiac Killer used a similar pattern in the letters he sent to police in the 60s.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. If you are an employer and you have employees, therefore you have benefits, therefore you have payroll, therefore you have HR, and therefore you have headaches. I mean, if you're like most people, right, it's not fun stuff to deal with, and you have to, obviously, and it, of course, is essential to what you do, and hopefully it's going to make your employees' lives better, but maybe there's a better way. Maybe. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. It's possible it's not, but here's what I recommend you do. Torgerson Causey, they have been doing this for more than two decades, and they are for local companies, and they're a comprehensive employee benefits agency. Just invite them in to look at what you're doing, you know, and they'll look it over and they'll come up with options and plans and see if maybe they can make it more efficient, deliver better results, maybe better customer service for you or for your employees, because we use them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 5 or 6 years. I can tell you personally, I just had a question the other day. I emailed them, and the guy I emailed was actually out of the country traveling, but it was Reed. And Todd got back to me right away, though, and said, hey, I got you. Oh, cool. And we got the information we needed. It was very easy. So they've been like that for us here. So give them a call and just find out if it might be a better way to do it for your employees' choices, prices, or just have somebody else take the headache. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.